And it's not Sully at the moment. Yeah, I can't even do that. This is Charlie Harper. This is Georgia Paul Radio, georgiapaul.com. Sully is kind enough to run the boards for us, but turn the microphones over to us for 1 hour a week where we take his show hyperlocal, do mostly state of Georgia politics. Tis the season, though. We're going to hit a little presidential politics. And we're going to get into petty politics today, too. And so with us to provide color commentary, we have John Richards and Stefan Turkheimer, editors with me at georgiapaul.com. And we're just going to dive into some issues, and we're kind of at that halfway point of the session where most of the first half of any session of the General Assembly really is dedicated to folks getting back into town, getting their committees running, and so you don't really vote on things on the floor because legislation has to work its way through the system. And then you kind of get to that midpoint where we are now, where between roughly days 20 and 30, that's where people actually get a little antsy about what has gotten to the floor for the first time. And then days 30 through 40 are where things that have already passed either the House or the Senate have to pass the other body. And so we've gotten through pageantry. We've gotten through the first few days that people tend to think don't matter as much, where the committee chairs are really just trying to get their track shoes on and figure out what's going to be able to move, how it's going to move, and what wording needs to be in the legislation, to the point where people are starting to get a little chippy, as they say. But before we get into that and the various cries of hypocrisy, other assorted pejoratives we can't say on family radio, let's actually talk about one of the substantive bills that's come up. So we're going to bring John in at this point. Matt Ramsey, Republican out of Peachtree City, Georgia, the Republican majority whip, which is a leadership position, has decided he's not going to run for re-election. But on his way out, he filed a bill that would actually change the constitutional power of tuition increases to essentially give it to legislative oversight. I think that's really the way I read the bill. The headline I originally saw said that it would be limited by the Constitution to the rate of inflation. But in reality, the wording, if I got into it, it actually says the Senate and House higher ed committees would have the say of if tuition could go up more or less than inflation. Is that about right?
It would be constitutionally limited to the rate of inflation as determined by the federal government, and I guess a report back from the Student Finance Commission.
Specifically had the thing in the overview
I read. But it could be overridden by the Senate Higher Education Commission and the House Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee so that there would be a way over it. It struck me as a reaction to increasing tuition. I know when they were talking about the possibility of using some additional funds from gambling for HOPE, many of our representatives complained that, oh, you know, the Board of Regents is just spending too much and we have no control. And indeed they don't, because the legislature is limited from controlling what the Board of Regents do due to a policy going back to the days of segregation. So this seemed to be an effort to do that, but then I look and I say, well, you know, good Republican politics says price controls never work. I seem to remember that from the Nixonian days. So I'm not sure.
Whip inflation now.
Right. Let's bring back 1974. And the silent majority, but that's, I guess, a topic for the fourth segment.
Well, we just got rid of Nixon-era gas taxes couple of months, you know, a year ago, so we might as well bring something back to remember Nixon finally by.
On the other hand, you could look at this look at this as not so
Supreme
much.
Supreme Court took care of that last week. We'll maybe get to that later.
An effort to actually control prices is to send a shot over the bow to the Board of Regents saying, you know, if you guys don't be a little bit more careful in terms of what you're doing and the way that you're controlling, where are you spending your money? Are you spending it on big buildings? Are you spending it on teachers? Spending on administration? Spending it on classroom stuff? If you don't get this under control, then we will come in and do something like this.
And I'll mention that Representative David Stover had a bill out early in the session that we've talked about several times. We've just always run out of time. But what he wants to do is change it over and have the Board of Regents elected, and somehow believes that would control tuition. And I personally have a little bit more of an issue with that, because it goes back to the original intent of why the Board of Regents is protected constitutionally from direct political interference, is because there are always political issues that legislators want to get involved of higher learning, and it would directly affect accreditation. And when this was put into place, It was basically to protect from legislators from themselves that their constituents didn't necessarily want a gentleman by the name of Hamilton Holmes and a lady by the name of Charlene Hunter to attend the University of Georgia. And the political will at the time was to not let people that didn't look like those of us sitting here in the studio. We've got a very diverse group of white men in the studio today. But, you know, that's not what Georgia looks like, and that's not what our schools need to look like. And we have other issues that, again, when we get to our favorite religious freedom segment, those same issues are being fought right now. And I have a feeling that the ultimate desire over those that would like to elect the Board of Regents instead of appoint them has a lot more to do with what subjects are being taught and how in the university than it does over the actual budget, which was the stated reason for that. And I think we'll address Representative Stover's proposal a little bit more in the next segment. But ultimately, tuition, it's been going up nationwide. I've got a graph. We can't really show graphs on radio, so I will not hold it up to the microphone for all to see. But for those that believe that Hope Scholarship and the money that's gone in has been the reason that our tuition's been going up, the neighboring states near us do not have a Hope Scholarship, and amazingly, you'll find that there is a constant trend line, both public and private schools, that tuition's been going up at all of them at exactly the same rate. And so while I kind of like the idea, you know, I don't have as much of a problem with Representative Ramsey's proposal because it does have a little bit of a check and balance, and it really is just about tuition increases and trying to find a solution to that. I'm an economist by academic training, and one of the first things you learn about economics is you've either got to assume in a market you're either a market maker or a price taker. And the assumption by both Representative Stover and Representative Ramsey about controlling tuition is that because we're the state of Georgia, we're a market maker and we can control what's going on in higher ed. And if you cut the funds off going to the University of Georgia and the rest of the university system and pretend that somehow we're a market maker, those that work in higher ed tend to go state to state. They're going to take where the best jobs are. So if we pretend we're going to make a market and that the market for higher ed is limited to the state of Georgia and we don't respond to national trends that have money going into this system that's blown up tuition because, frankly, my personal opinion, it's from student loans. If we do that, we're not going to be able to get the best teachers. We're not going to be able to necessarily attract the students we want. And so we're playing with something that I think we're trying to pretend the market is one thing when it's not the other, and we've got to start looking at this as a nationwide problem. I do agree absolutely that's a problem. I do think we should find solutions. And specifically, are we building too many buildings that are new when current buildings are underutilized? And do we have too much faculty overhead as opposed to the folks teaching, as well as we have the tenured professors not teaching and adjuncts that basically are on poverty wages, the ones that are in the classroom? There's all kinds of problems with higher ed. But I'm a little concerned that the two issues on the table don't address either. We got 30 seconds. Either y'all want to finish that out?
Well, I would say that the other part of that is how much funding that the legislature is giving the schools directly, because the tuition is only part of how you run a school. So you have to look at both sides of that to even determine whether or not the tuition is an appropriate number.
Yeah, I will say the one blip where Georgia deviates from the long-term curve is the couple of years during the financial bailout where the legislature cut, and so tuition went up a little higher because the university system didn't exactly take the cuts. I mean, they took some, but they also raised tuition a little higher than national average during those 2 years of the worst bailout.
Yeah, but you'll find some that will complain that the reason tuition is going up so much is the general allocations from the General Assembly are going down. So you're getting the same amount of money.
It's where the years where it went down, where the tuition went up the most, deviating from our states near us, were those years where we had the worst budget cut. So with that, we're going to close out on that. We're going to get to petty politics next. But before that, it's not school food. It's Miss Paula Deen.